miraculous ways, provide for us. Give praise and glory to your Lord, who will see to your needs and protection during the coming tribulation. And some of these things are a little difficult to understand, but I'll just draw a couple of quick attentions to how he multiplied food. Back in the Old Testament, when Elijah came to this old lady and her son, there was a famine, and he said, and she said to him, she makes some cakes for him, that they would die because that's the last of their food. So Elijah blessed the oil and the flour, and it multiplied itself for a year, and they were able to survive through the famine. When Jesus came and was on the earth, you remember how he took the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish, and he multiplied it, and he fed the 5,000, and another time he fed the 4,000, and they collected 12 and 7 baskets of fragrance after that. So he knows how to multiply food, and he hasn't stopped doing that. We remember this one father, Richard Thomas, he's since died, but we remember the stories that he had when he was out in Veda, in New Mexico. Anyway, and he would multiply. He would take a ham and feed the Mexican people across the border, and the ham, he'd cut it up and feed 500 people, and it wouldn't go any less than 2/3. It would always stay the same. So he would multiply it. Even in the time when the Pope came to Denver, we also saw some multiplication of food there. So our Lord is continuing to multiply food, so not to have any fear. And what I think one of the things our Lord was mentioning, enough, not so much in this message, but another one, when the people first come to the refuge, they'll be very apprehensive because they won't understand all this about miracles. But as soon as they start seeing the miracles being performed, they're going to, they'll be believing in it, and it will ease any of their tensions, any of their fears. So our Lord is going to be there for us. We just have to have more confidence in His multiplication of things and providing. I'm going to talk now a little bit about the tribulation time. So we talked earlier, I'll just put that back into perspective again. So we talked about the famine, the division in the church, the mandatory chips, and martial law. So now we've asked our Lord, and we've gone now to the refuges. So now the beginning of the tribulation starts once the Antichrist comes to power and declares himself. That's the beginning of this tribulation. And so this is spoken of about the end times, in other words. This is in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 through 39. This is a scripture passage speaking about when our Lord would come again, and right after this tribulation time. And as it was in the days of Noah, even so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and swept them all away, even so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So when he says in the days of Noah, what he means there is how evil it was in his days. And in Genesis it talks about how evil they were. Chapter 6, verse 11 through 12. The earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and was filled with violence. God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all men live corruptly on the earth. So that's a little bit what we're seeing right now. We're seeing a lot of corruption, we're seeing a lot of evil, homosexuality, marriages, we're seeing all kinds of living together, and the bad movies and everything else. And we're seeing all these signs of the evil all around us, just like it was in the days of Noah, how evil they were. And they had that unforgiving heart. In other words, the sin against the Holy Spirit, the unforgivable sin, is not asking any forgiveness for our sins. That's really what that was. That's why these people were killed in the flood. They were not asking the Lord for forgiveness. Another scripture passage speaks about the exact time of this tribulation, or the coming of it, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 through 22. For then there will be great tribulation. Now there's kinds of tribulation, if you will. Now, and Daniel talks about a 7-year tribulation time, and in Revelation it talks about a 3.5 years time of tribulation. I believe, at least my understanding is, that this great tribulation is referring to the 3.5 years of the Antichrist reign, which will be shortened for the sake of the elect, like I'm going to read here. For then there will be great tribulation such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, nor will be. And unless those days have been shortened, no living creature would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. And I mentioned before how he would speed up the time, so the elect would have less time that they would have to suffer. I'm going to share with you a message that speaks about the time of the Antichrist and how he will come to power. I could see two black chairs with, this was February 2nd, 2002. I could see two black chairs with red veils draped over them. And then Jesus said, "My people, these two black chairs with the red veils represent the places of power for the two beasts of the book of Revelation. One of the beasts is the Antichrist, and I've warned you to not look at him or take anything from him." Remember, I told you we were to get rid of our televisions and our computer monitors so we don't look at him. "He will have demonic powers, and by yourselves you'll be no match for him. When he declares himself to be in power, many will worship him and take his mark, which will be a computer chip in the hand. Those who give in to him will be under his power and could be lost. Some will sell their souls to keep their wealth and comforts," because this will be a real challenge to get rid of everything. People won't want to do that. My people will be told and their warning experience to avoid this man and not to take his mark. The Antichrist will presume to be a man of peace and who will save the world from war and financial collapse. That's what he'll be saying. Soon he will become a tyrant ruler, once he gets in power, in other words, demanding that everyone has to worship him. "Call on me, and I will have your guardian angels lead you to my refuges of holy ground and my blessed mother's places of apparition. You will not endure this trial long, and I will come in the clouds to defeat the Antichrist. I will then cleanse the earth of all evil, and there will be joy all over." And some might wonder, in the physical way, how this takeover would come about. And there was another message, a little bit, for the United States and America, and this was likening it to the time of Babylon, when Babylon fell. It's the same parallel. This was November 28, 2007. I could see a frame of an entrance to a cave where it was pitch black as into oblivion. Jesus said, "My people, there is a strong parallel between Babylon and America in the reading from Daniel. The people of Babylon worship pagan gods made of gold, silver, bronze, and stone, and they drink wine from the holy vessels of the temple." In other words, when the Israelites were exiled, these, they were the ones, they went into the holy temples there, and they took all the gold vessels, and they brought it as part of their spoils of their victory over to their own home. So these people later on defiled these sacred vessels by drinking them in their parties, and that's what he's saying here. "Because of this flaunting of idol worship and irreverence for God's holy vessels, the writing on the wall occurred, Mene, Tekel, and Perez." And that's in Daniel chapter 5, verse 1 through 29. Now here's the similarity to America. "America also has idols that you worship in new houses, cars, electronic devices, money, and fame or status. You are also flaunting irreverence to me by taking God, prayer, and my Ten Commandments from all of your public buildings, not to mention your abortions and sexual sins. America, like Babylon, has been found wanting in my judgment when your scales of evil have outweighed the good that you have done. America's days are numbered as well, when the central bankers will bring about a takeover of your country, and it will truly be sent into oblivion as with this vision. America will also be divided and given up to the Masons and the One World people, who will deny your sovereignty rights as you are made a part of the North American Union. Your people have allowed the central bankers to bankrupt your country with useless war debts and strip your military of its numbers and strength. This, together with your immorality, is what will bring your nation to a total takeover. When you see mandatory chips in the body and martial law declared because of a created emergency, you will see the end of your country as a democratic republic. This will also be the time for my faithful to call on me and your angels to lead you to the nearest refuge for both physical and spiritual protection from the evil ones and the Antichrist. Have faith and hope in my power with no fear of these evil ones. In the end, I will vanquish them and cast this evil lot into hell. My faithful will then be rewarded in my era of peace." So it really is a beautiful time at the very end of this. Now, so we're having this tribulation time with the Antichrist as he's being allowed to come into power. Then he's going to reach full power over all the nations of the world. And he's going to be put in, what our Lord told me, he'll be coming out of Egypt, and then he'll be put in power in the American, in the European Union, in Europe. And he'll be running all the world from there. All the controlling, all the media and everything, he would be controlling it. So once he gets to that full control of the world, at that point, then our Lord will bring what is called a great chastisement. And this chastisement will take the form of a comet that will come and strike in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. This will create what is talked about as the 3 days of darkness. And in the 3 days of darkness, once this comet hits and the dust and everything goes all over the world with, you know, volcanoes and everything else going on, you wouldn't be able to see your hand in front of you. But if you were to have a blessed candle, that would be the only source of light that you would have. So our Lord is speaking about this now in a message on September 14, 2007. I could see the sun setting, and there was a great darkness representing a time of great evil. Jesus said, "My people, you remember when I died on the cross, how there was a great earthquake, and darkness came over the land from an eclipse of the sun at 3 p.m. in the afternoon." So now this vision of another time of darkness is foretelling the time of the coming evil of the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation of the Antichrist, I will bring my comet of chastisement that will strike the earth in the Atlantic Ocean. Then you will witness the 3 days of darkness when only blessed candles will give your only light. The darkness will cover how the evil ones will have to suffer a living hell on earth without being consumed. So now, one of the visions he showed me two of them, one where they would be walking, the evil ones, in other words, would be walking through flames, literally a hell on earth, walking through flames, feeling the pain of the flames, but not being consumed. And another one said for 5 months, and these are plagues that are talked about in Revelation, and he showed me another one where scorpions were the size of horses, and they were stinging these people for 5 months, yet they wouldn't die from it. So, I mean, it just had to be one terrible plague. They had to suffer. So anybody that goes with the Antichrist may have a few days of comfort and wealth, but then the future is not very nice. I mean, you're going to be suffering a lot. Not to mention, after that, then there would be in the real hell for all eternity. So it's a real, not the right choice, that's for sure. Close your windows and do not look out to view my wrath on these condemned souls. So not to witness the justice of God. This was very similar when Lot told his wife not to look back at the Sodom and Gomorrah being, you know, with all the flame and the fire and everything, the brimstone and everything falling on that town. And she looked back, and of course she turned into a pillar of salt, as you know, from Scripture. So he's telling us not to look at the justice of God out the window. In other words, to put something over the window to hide it. I will cleanse the earth of all the evil ones, and they will eventually be cast into hell in chains. I will then renew the earth and bring about my era of peace, which will be a reward for all of my faithful. So this is how our Lord is going. Once this comet comes, all the chips will stop working, and all the evil ones will be then chained in hell, and then he's going to renew the face of the earth and then make ready for the time of the era of peace. And this is a scripture passage that speaks a little bit, describes the same, similar thing anyway, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. So this is when our Lord would bring about this era of peace. I just can't go into all the descriptions of it, but just there's different places in the Bible that speak of this era of peace, talk about what it would be like. I'm going to go to a segment I'm calling about some visions of heaven, hell, and purgatory, and about perfection. And I'll give you a little bit of some information on queenship in my internet site. And then I'll get into some messages of the more recent messages. And that's the order that I'm coming as much as I got time for. So we're going to talk a little bit now about a vision of heaven, some of the visions I had. This was on March 29, 2001. I'll just say one thing about a vision of heaven.